And we're now going to ask you to join in reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. You can turn it there in your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle by Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If you are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experience in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf, for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. So far we'll reading God's word. Let's just pause for a moment as we pray and seek the Lord's face. Father, as we come together around your word, we just thank you for the privilege of knowing you and walking with you and knowing that you're our Savior, our Lord, and the one who loves us. Father, this morning as we come around your word, we ask that you'd give us perspective. Lord, there's so many things happening around us, and at times we get discouraged. And Lord, as we look at our own situation, we sometimes feel depressed or concerned. And Lord, we pray that you'd give us a great perspective as we turn to you and turn to your word. Father, we thank you that in you we have a hope, the certainty of a future. And Father, this morning I pray that for each one we might have a renewed hope, as we are inspired by the truth of your word. Lord, we pray for our country, we pray particularly for our president, and Father, we know how hard he works. We've read that he has meetings for 18 to 20 hours a day, and Father, we just pray that you would give him strength and energy as he leads our country, and we just pray for wisdom at this time as we expect to move to a different level in our lockdown. We just pray that you'd give our government much wisdom as they plan for the future. Father, we pray now that you'd give us patience as we await different types of news about our future and the lockdown. Lord, we also ask that you'd give us wisdom as we live out our faith day to day. Father, we pray that we would know and experience your peace and courage. We pray all these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen. You imagine I have no ups and downs, but just a level and lofty stretch of spiritual attainment with unbroken joy and equanimity. By no means. I'm often perfectly wretched and everything seems most murky. So wrote the man who in his day was described as the greatest preacher in the English-speaking world, Pastor Henry Jowett. At a morning service, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher of London, stunned his church with the following words. "I'm the subject of depression of spirit so fearful that I hope that none of you ever get to such extremes of wretchedness as I go." Yeah, we're two great men of God who at times in life really just felt the despair of life hanging down on them, and they were discouraged. And certainly many of us have gone through that experience, or perhaps we're going through that experience of frustration right now, that discouragement, that depression, and maybe even crisis as we face one day at a time. Sometimes we might feel that we're at a dead-end street. We simply don't know where to turn. Certainly Paul had this a fair share of this in his own life experience. in verse 8 of our text, we read the following. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Here's one of the greatest spiritual giants that we read about in Scripture. And even Paul, the great apostle, the great missionary, the great man of God, experienced times of discouragement and despair. In verse 5, he tells us that it's as if the sufferings of Christ had been poured into his life. Remember in chapter 12, that great verse, we read how Paul had agonized over his thorn of the flesh. Why hadn't God removed it when he'd prayed and prayed and prayed? He'd agonized over this. He prayed, and he prayed again. But there was silence from heaven. Sometimes we wonder why God's timetable is so different to ours. We go through anguish and we question why God isn't responding in the way we'd like him to do. In chapter 6 and chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, we read about the apostles' experiences that really speak of crisis in his life. He'd been beaten and put in prison. He'd had sleepless nights. He'd been lied about and been scandalized. He'd experienced a shipwreck. He'd been in danger from bandits. He'd had to run for his life, and he'd even been stoned and left for dead. Certainly, all of us go through times of stress and things that stress us out. Perhaps you've been working from home and you've been working longer hours, you're tired, and it's as if the day just doesn't end. And maybe when you get up in the morning, you feel as if you haven't slept at all in the night. Zoom meeting after Zoom meeting, and your blood pressure is rising. Perhaps you're working and your children are running around the house and you're feeling frustrated. Perhaps you haven't received that payment, or maybe you can't pay your bills like you know you should. And then there's the stress of not being able to meet those we love and those who are close to us, our family, our friends, and those we care about. Perhaps, just like the Apostle Paul, you're at your wit's end. You're wondering what next is going to happen. How do you respond when you're at wit's end corner, when you're uncertain about the future? You simply don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. How do you respond when life appears to be at a dead-end street for you, and maybe you feel like that elevator which has the sign up, not running today? Perhaps you feel exactly like that. Are you like Job's wife who grew bitter as she observed Job's life falling apart in front of her firsthand, and she said to Job, curse God and die. She was angry. She was bitter. Why had God allowed this? And perhaps you feel like Job's wife and you want to utter those words. Perhaps you're like the priest Eli we read about in the Old Testament, who had two wicked sons who never confronted him, and you simply, like an ostrich, you stick your head in the sand and you ignore everything that's going on around you. Or are you like the Apostle Paul, who remembered that God is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort? What was Paul's secret when he faced tremendous pressures and trials? How can we take hold of this crisis we find ourselves in, and this despair and calamity, and make it work for our own spiritual growth? Out of experience, we see that Paul shares, or he gives us three simple reminders that we need to take note of at this time when we are in lockdown, as we face this pandemic. Firstly, when at wit's end corner, we realize the foolishness of trusting in ourselves. How often we're under the impression that we're self-made, we're self-sufficient, we can handle absolutely everything, we're independent, we don't need other people to help us, we don't even need God's help. Sometimes we think like that. And friends, at times like that, God comes in and life seems to fall apart. How often we try to make our own plans and we try to sort ourselves out. I remember some years ago when we needed to add some money to our bond, and we got this fine plan of letting our house, and I prayed about it and didn't have the peace of God, but I went ahead anyway. Well, this whole plan fell apart, and we simply stressed ourselves out trying to do things our way. Paul certainly came to the realization that he could do nothing more in his own situation. In verse 8, the second part, in verse 9, he writes the following. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. But this happened, Paul says, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul came to realize that he couldn't sort his own situation out. He trusted God. He did what he could, but he needed to trust God. Phillips, the scholar, he translates the Apostle Paul's words like this. We were completely overwhelmed. The burden was more than we could bear. In fact, we told ourselves, this was the end. Friend, perhaps you feel like that and you can identify with the Apostle Paul's words. If you're at that point this morning, maybe you need to consider this, that God has brought you to this point for a reason. Truman Aldridge, he says the following. Sometimes God has to put us flat on our backs because that's the only way we will look upwards. Why had God allowed Paul to go through this experience? He gives us the answer in verse 9 of our reading. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. God had certainly shattered Paul's self-confidence on the road to Damascus. Remember when Paul was known as Saul and he was out to persecute Christians, and on his way to Damascus, a man who felt so good about himself and his abilities. And on that road to Damascus, we read how God shattered his self-confidence, and this man Saul became the great apostle Paul. Someone put it like this. When God wants to do an impossible task, he takes an impossible man and he crushes him. And certainly this was Paul's experience, a man who was so independent of God. And he took this man on the road to Damascus and he faced crisis. But through that, he became a great, great man of God. But perhaps we suffer because of that little voice that speaks to us, that voice that says to us, well, my prayer life is great. I'm doing really great spiritually. I've got years of spiritual experience behind me, and I've learned so much, and I feel so good about myself. And just that point, God moves in. God has one great purpose in our lives, to destroy forever any confidence in the flesh, in self. Jeremiah, the Old Testament prophet, expresses it strongly. Jeremiah 17 verses 5 to 7. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, whose mind and heart turns away from the Lord. But then he continues in verse 7 of this Jeremiah chapter 17. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. Where is your confidence ultimately as you think about that verse? Is it in yourself and your abilities and the things you have? Or is it ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what Paul said when he wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God had spoken into Paul's life, and he said the following, My grace is sufficient for you when my power is made perfect in weakness. God wants us to trust him, not our own gifts, our own abilities, our own experience, or our own spiritual reserves. God wants us to trust him. We realize the foolishness of trusting in ourselves. And then secondly, we see that when we're at Wits End Corner, we develop an unshakable confidence in God. Verse 10 reminds us, he has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him, Paul says, we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Perhaps that's a word for you at this time when you're unsure about tomorrow. What did the Apostle Paul learn from his trials? In verse 1, we see he discovered a God who's sovereign, a God who's in control, a God who has a plan and purpose, even in times of trial and suffering. Paul certainly learned those words by the will of God. As he looked back at his life, he could say again and again, by the will of God. And we too should learn those words and learn to express them. Sometimes God delivers us from our trials, but sometimes he delivers us in our trials. The great missionary statesman, William Carey, he suffered immense hardship. He lost a wife and children. His home and work was destroyed by fire in India. And time and time again, he'd look at his life and at what's going on and say, by the will of God, by the will of God. In verse 3, we see that Paul had experienced the God of compassion, the Father of compassion, and the God of all comfort. Of course, the comfort reminds us of the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, who comes alongside us and guides us and encourages us. I remember some years ago, my brother, he was in a serious train accident and he lost his leg. It was a really traumatic experience, especially for my parents. I remember later my mom sharing how God's peace had just filled the heart at this time when it was absolutely chaotic and there was a lot of concern and so on. And God came alongside my parents and my brother and encouraged them and took them through this terrible experience. Paul had experienced the God of compassion, but he also knew a God in verse 2 who granted peace. And yet we see he expresses these words, grace and peace from God our Father. In other words, the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father, God the Father, were the originator of grace and peace. But I want you to notice in verse 2 the order. It's so important, isn't it? First grace and then peace. In other words, you cannot know God's peace before you know His grace. And friends, that's so true, isn't it? Do you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that has saved you and brought you into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it's the Lord Jesus Christ, as we know Him, that sheds His peace abroad in our hearts. I really want to encourage you at this point just to say that each of us need to come to a point where we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and Lord. We need to respond to His offer of grace and receive the gift of eternal life and know Him as our Savior as He forgives our sins and brings peace into our hearts. You see, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, how can you ever know His peace? Solomon encapsulates the need of every Christian. Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. What did Paul learn from his experience? In verse 9, one translation puts it like this. Towards Him we have set our hope and we will continue to do so. Paul had realized that he could place his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Certainly Paul learned an unshakable trust in God at this point of his life. The third thing we see in this text, when at wit's end corner, we realize the power of prayer. How often we say it ourselves, in a sense, we might not say it out aloud, but we say it ourselves, we try everything, and when all else fails, then we pray. I'm sure you've been there and done that. I certainly have. Instead of going to the Lord first, we try everything out. We go to our friends, we look for advice everywhere. We try different things instead of first going to God. And that's certainly bad theology for Christians. The first point of departure is to see God in prayer. R.C. Trench said the following. We must not conceive prayer as though it was overcoming God's reluctance, when in fact, it is laying hold of God's highest willingness. In verse 11, Paul puts it simply, as you help us with your prayers. Paul certainly had been through the school of suffering. Something had happened to him. Something had changed within him in his heart. And in verse 5, he speaks about the sufferings of Christ that overflow into our lives. Like Christ, Paul, who had accepted the cross, Paul had come to terms with his own suffering and he had accepted it through the strength that Christ had given to him. And perhaps you're battling right now, you're in the middle of a crisis and God needs to work in your heart as you seek his face. I remember a great committed Christian friend that I knew. He was dying and they were administering morphine 3 hours right at the end of his life. And at this point of intense suffering, this man could worship God. He could pray. He could praise. I remember the last hours of his life, they were playing worship CDs as he just lifted his heart to God. And I was absolutely amazed at the peace this man had at the end of his life. An incredible Christian testimony of what is happening in his life. In chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, we read about Paul coming to terms with his thorn. He'd learned a great truth, and Jesus' words had spoken into his life. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Like Christ, whose greatest act of ministry had come through the cross, so Paul experienced the same thing, and we read in verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. How did Paul come to terms with his crisis? How did Paul get through this time of difficulty in his life? How did Paul turn crisis into blessing? He gives us the answer. It's simply through prayer. What was the apostle's secret at Wits End Corner? It was that he was totally focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. I came across a wonderful poem that really speaks about everything I'm saying this morning. It's about being at Wits End Corner by Antoinette Wilson, written a number of years ago. And listen to the words that she shares. Are you standing at Wits End Corner, Christian with troubled brow? Are you thinking of what is before you and all you are bearing now? Does all the world seem against you, and you in the battle alone? Remember, at Wits End Corner, it's just where God's power is shown. Are you standing at Wits End Corner, blinded in wearing pain, feeling you cannot endure it, you cannot bear the strain, bruised through constant suffering, dizzy and dazed and numb? Remember, at Wits End Corner is where Jesus loves to come. Are you standing at Wits End Corner, your work before you spread, or lying begun unfinished and pressing on heart and head, longing for strength to do it, stretching out trembling hands? Remember, at Wits End Corner, the burden bearer stands. Are you standing at Wits End Corner? Then you're just in the very spot to learn the wondrous resources of him who faileth not. No doubt to a brighter pathway, your footsteps will soon be moved, but only at Wits End Corner is the God who is able proved. Let's bow heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for this wonderful text that gives us insight to our suffering and, Lord, to the resources we have in you. As we bow before you, we pray that you'd bring us to that point of relying not on ourselves, but, Father, that we rely in you completely, that we focus completely on you. Father, this morning I pray for those who are feeling confused or feeling discouraged, depressed or stressed out. Father, I pray that that they would know your presence. Lord, that they'd learn to rest in you and experience the peace that only comes from you. Father, we thank you that we can entrust our lives completely in you because you are the Father of comfort. Lord, you come alongside of us by your Spirit, the Paraclete, who encourages and teaches and leads us and takes us forward. Father, I pray that we as your people would learn to trust you completely. Father, we thank you that this word speaks into our very situation right now. And Father, we pray that you'd help us to know your peace. And Father, that you'd help us to share the hope and peace that we have with those around us. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. We pray all these things in your precious name. Amen. Amen.